Some of you are aware that one of the seminaries that I attended, seems like a long time ago that I was in seminary, but one of the seminaries was Knox College, not the one in Florida, but Knox College, which is one of the theological colleges of the University of Toronto. What I want to tell you is a little bit about my classroom experience. U of T is one of the most beautiful campuses among the Canadian universities, and almost all of my classes at U of T looked out to this beautiful, beautiful courtyard. And what became a regular part of my classroom experience was the sound of a car alarm. The sound of a car alarm. And for the first little while, we would all get up from what we were doing, and we'd all kind of peek out the window, and we'd try to assess, is someone's car being stolen? And without fail, every time we looked, we saw the same thing. Someone had been playing soccer in the courtyard, and either it was a bad shot or a bad goalie, we're not sure, and the ball would overshoot the goal and invariably set off a car alarm. Every time we looked, this is what was taking place. So what would happen is after several weeks, we would hear the car alarms, and we would go, oh, another bad shot or another weak goaltender. And we would just keep doing what we were doing. We stopped paying attention to the car alarms. It occurred to me in later years, if a car ever did get stolen from that courtyard, we would have been oblivious. It would have been the best place to steal a car because we had stopped paying attention to the alarms. I share that with you because, and I hope your Bibles are open to Jeremiah chapter 6. Because in Jeremiah chapter 6, we have a very similar situation. Jeremiah, as God's prophet, was sounding alarm after alarm after alarm. And there came a point where the people of God stopped listening to Jeremiah. They started to tune out his alarms. And if you're following along, you'll see it's a very bad time in their history to tune out one of God's prophets. Commentators refer to this chapter as one of several invasion oracles. Can you imagine, as commentators try to break down a biblical book into smaller sections, they have sections called invasion oracles. Invasion oracles. So Jeremiah is warning Judah that they would soon be plundered by another nation. If you were with us last week, you may remember the sins of Judah are described in great detail in chapter 5. And again, if your Bibles are open to chapter 6, you may want to flip back a page and see the many and profound sins of the people of God. But as we look at chapter 6 this morning, the sin of Judah is presented in a far more general way. The great sin of Judah here is framed as a lack of hearing. It's framed as a lack of noticing what is wrong. An apparent unwillingness of the people to pay attention to the Word of God. It's as if their spiritual senses have been dulled to the problem, and the prophet's alarms are no longer registering in the minds of the people. Have a look at verse 10. The Lord asks, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it." Here in Jeremiah 6, we are seeing the heart of the issue. Again, in chapter 5, the sins were detailed. This was a people that refused correction. This was a people who were chasing after other gods. We're told that their hearts were full of deceit, that they were judging improperly, that they were failing to attend to the needs of the most vulnerable. But now what we learn is that those sins are merely the symptoms of a much greater problem, of a much deeper issue. The root issue, or the root problem, is the people were not giving proper attention to the Word of God. Now, in everyday life, there are times when you and I engage other people in conversation. It might be someone in your home, it might be in a business transaction, it might be with colleagues at work, but there are times where we engage another person and they don't engage back in a manner that we think is suitable or polite. Well, every parent knows what we're talking about here. Every parent knows what it's like to engage their child or their teenager and to not get the response back that they were looking for. And those are the times where we say something like this to our children: "Eyes up, look at me. I need to see your eyes." Because we imagine that the only way we can be sure that what we're saying is registering with them is if they look us in the eyes and we can see that they're paying attention. Or if it's really important, does anyone else do this technique? We say, "Now, repeat back to me what I just said. You've heard my instruction, you've heard what I've said, now tell me what I just said." Even in wider society, it's considered rude to ignore or to disregard what another person's saying. If you speak to someone and they don't pay any attention to you, you think, how rude. How rude that they wouldn't listen. And yet here we read about the people in Jeremiah's day consistently disregarding what God is saying to them. You know, those times when we might say, "Hey, I tuned out a family member, I tuned out somebody at work, I tuned out a neighbor," but we may feel justified in doing so. There may be times where we don't listen to a particular opinion from a person because what is being said or suggested we don't think will help us in any way. But that will never be the case when God speaks to you. That will never be the case when God speaks to you. When God speaks, it will be for your good. When God speaks, He speaks the truth. If your Bibles are open, have a look at verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." When God speaks to us in His Word, it is for our good. And the Lord sets out a most precious blessing. He says we will find rest, not bodily rest. We will find rest for our souls. Friends, I don't know what's going on in your life at the moment. I don't know all of your responsibilities. I don't know all the burdens that you carry for yourself and for others. Causes many of us to be fearful, anxious, worried. And here God's Word offers rest for your soul. And Jesus Himself repeats this invitation: "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Dear friends, when the Lord speaks, He is not giving advice that is superficial. He is not giving counsel that is of secondary importance. He is giving us His living Word, which provides rest for our souls. The Word of the Lord is life-giving. The way to ultimate peace, the way to lasting joy, the way to have deep soul satisfaction comes by the Word of God. There's no shortcut, no gourmet meal, no day at the sea in a luxurious ship, no wonderful vacation, no perfect family time that can offer you what the Word of God offers you. Peace, joy, and satisfaction for your soul. If you've ever wondered about how God thinks about Himself, how God thinks about His name, how God thinks about His Word, the Scripture tells us, the Psalm of David, Psalm 138, David is speaking to God in this psalm, and he declares, Lord, You have exalted above all things Your name and Your Word. What does God think highly of? What is the most important thing to the God of this universe? His name and His Word. And so to dishonor the name of God, or to disregard the Word of God, these are offenses of profound significance. We place the Word of God on the margin at our own peril. We see the people of Jeremiah's day, how they endured terrible consequences, all because they did not give proper attention to God's Word. Again, there's so many visitors, you don't know me, you don't know from which this sermon comes, and I don't want you to think that I'm being unduly harsh, I don't want you to think I'm being grim, I don't want you to think that I'm exaggerating the situation here, so I want God's Word to speak for itself. Look again at chapter 6, verses 17 and following. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. The Apostle Paul sounds a very similar note when he writes the Galatians. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that they will reap. Now I realize there's a way to read these passages, Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah 6, Galatians 6. There's a way to read these passages and to say, why is God being so hard on His people? These are His chosen people. These are the objects of His steadfast love. Why is He being so hard on them? But I would suggest that if we are asking this question, we have not understood the seriousness of the offense. God has exalted above all things His name and His Word. The Creator of all that exists, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Almighty, He speaks to us. Can you imagine if someone very important, whether it was the Prime Minister of this country or the Queen of England or some special dignitary came among us and we just ignored them? It would be awful. It would be beyond rude. And yet we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty, and we're not listening to Him. People would tune Him out. Some would ignore the invitation of God Almighty. And the Bible says back, God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. I realize that this is heavy stuff. And I understand that it's difficult to hear about such dire consequences. But the good news is that we, as God's people in 2019, let's turn the page, Brent. As God's people in 2019, we need not bear the consequences of disregarding the Word of God. The offer to God's people continues to heed the Word of the Lord, to accept Jesus Christ, to regard Him as our Savior and our Lord, to walk in His ways, to call ourselves Christian, and to seek to do God's will. The invitation to be God's people continues, and a new opportunity to follow is before us. The trumpet has been sounded. The scripture has been read. The word of God is being preached this morning, and you have an opportunity to not only hear the word, but to receive it, to apply it, to walk in God's ways and in His word. And you will find rest for your souls. One of my favorite scriptures about the Word of God is the longest chapter, if you will, in the Bible, Psalm 119. And perhaps my favorite, or what I would say has been most helpful to me in Psalm 119, is verse 105. Many of you know it. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isn't that one that many of you have made your own? Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You have an opportunity this morning to have God, to receive God's word in such a way that it lights your path. Will you do that? Will you make a choice today to walk in the light of God's Word? We can make this choice today. As we leave this church, we are going out into the world that is in the dark, that is dwelling in darkness, which is being subjected to the prince of darkness. But we can be children of the light who walk in light, who shine the light. I want to illustrate the importance of this if I can. And it goes without saying that it's hard to walk in the dark unless you have light. I feel like Captain Obvious in the pulpit this morning. It's hard to walk in the dark if you don't have any light. And I learned that one particular summer. I was in my early 20s and I worked at a Christian sports camp in Northern Ontario in Canada. And for whatever reason, they thought the boys were unruly, and so they put our accommodations far away from the main camp itself, and they put our accommodations in the middle of the woods. And this was fine, you know, we felt like we ruled the forest, if you will. But from time to time, as I went down to the main camp in the morning, I would forget to bring a light with me. And of course, this wouldn't be a problem in the morning light. It wouldn't be an issue during the day. But at night, when I had to get back to where I was to sleep, it was extremely difficult to find my accommodations when I had no flashlight. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but if you walk in a forest, particularly a northern Canadian forest, at night, with not a lot of moonlight, you can't see more than a foot or two in front of you at best. And it changes the way you walk. When a person walks in the dark, they walk differently. You become afraid of what's around you. So you walk slowly. You walk cautiously. You literally walk like this. with your hands out because you don't know what's coming next. And it's often the case that without any light, you can't stay on the main path. You end up wandering off the path. And then in Northern Ontario, in the dark, in a forest at night, you're thinking, where are the bears? Are they going to be quiet? Are they going to sneak up on me? Now, thankfully, I never ran into any bears. But I did have some very serious falls. I mean, concussion-inducing falls because I was walking in the dark without any light. And my falls were unnecessary. My falls were unnecessary because I had access to light. I just needed to remember to bring the light with me, to turn it on, and to walk in the light. It's so much easier to walk through the woods at night with a flashlight. When I had a flashlight, I would walk quickly. I would walk safely. I would walk with purpose. I wasn't afraid of bears or anything. I did not have any serious falls. It was no problem at all. I want you to know that the Word of God has a similar effect on our lives. The Word of God gives our steps clear purpose, and the Word of God keeps us on the correct path. Now, you might be interested to know that I wasn't the only knucklehead who forgot his flashlight from time to time. Just in case you're thinking, what's wrong with this guy forgetting his light? I wasn't the only knucklehead who would forget to bring a flashlight from time to time. So what would invariably happen is that there'd be a person with a light and a person without a light, and they would find each other. Because if you don't have a light and you see a light, you get that person's attention and you walk together. And you benefit from being in the presence of someone who has a light. Friends, if you're sitting here this morning thinking, you know, Pastor, I'm walking in the light, don't worry. I do my morning devotions every day. I'm always reading my Bible. I'm really doing a really great job with my Bible reading program. Good. Now find someone who's stumbling in the dark and go get them. You might be in the light. You might be having a wonderful time with God's Word. You might have a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, but there may be a neighbor who's stumbling in the dark, who's struggling, who's falling, who's having trouble getting to where they need to go. If you have light, go help them. Don't let your neighbor fall down while you stand there holding a light. Don't let your neighbor court disaster while you're standing there holding a light. The light of God's Word is not meant to benefit you alone. We shine the light of God's Word for His glory, but also for our neighbor's good. Receive the Word of God. Walk in its light. And go find your neighbor in the dark and help them walk in the light for Jesus' sake and for His name. Amen.